You know, on the back of the bulletin, it says the sermon title and the scripture for the following week. I'm calling your attention to that because I had a phone call this week, and evidently this member of the church, I'm not going to name names, read the scripture for today and wanted to know if I was going to preach about 100 virgins for Muslims. True. They aren't here. Good. I had to laugh because the scripture that I'm reading is about the wise and foolish virgins. And I had no idea of preaching about 100 virgins if you get killed as a Muslim. I don't think that. Kind of crowded. Anyway, I'm thinking of a big bed. That's my humor. That's sick. Did you like that? I can't think how many number of times I've probably preached on this scripture one way or another over the years. I've got a well-marked Bible, and I have some scriptures are just all over the place duplicated, and I was surprised when I looked, and this didn't really have a mark. And I thought, I wonder why. Must have been a long time ago in another Bible. And I got it out and looked, and yeah, it was marked. So that was an old Bible a long time ago, and you're getting a new sermon. The idea being, not so much about the foolish virgins, because that's usually where the minister centers, but about the wise virgins. And I think, you know, for a reasonably new century and a new attitude toward the church and thinking about ways that the church can reinvent itself and become new again, which is what everybody's writing about and publications are there and we're encouraged to read them. I thought, let's go positive for a change. So if you'll open your Bibles now to Matthew, this is a really good lesson. And it almost fits really any number of themes. The 25th chapter, 13 verses. The parable of the 10 virgins. That's it, and that's your title. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth. I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Now, this sermon could go in any number of really wild directions. True, it's about the idea that Jesus is going to return, and there are bumper stickers made that they're waiting for him and all that. But I like the last verse I just read to you. For instance, you don't know the day or the hour. You can't predict it. That's what's there. And the wise are very positive in this lesson. Look at them. They prepared with extra oil. They had oil in their lamp, and they took a container with oil with them so that if it burned out, they could add more oil. Okay. Not only that, they were all ready for it, and they, like good Presbyterians, took a nap. I like that. What I like about it, they didn't form a committee. Now, the big moment came. They were ready for the big moment. And that big moment when Jesus comes to us, and when Jesus comes to us, either in our present or our future, that's what the lesson is, if we take it and pull it apart. The big moment on which Jesus comes to us is not passive. It's not. And it calls for being on active duty, if I can use a military word, which is pretty good coming up to Veterans Day. That's exactly what it says. And at all times, and it's going to be costly because you've got to be ready. You've got to be prepared. Give me oil in my lamp, keep it burning. You know, I was reminded of this. Next Sunday night, Renee Hawk is going to portray here Corrie Ten Boom. And if some of you, I think most of you, all heard her story. Corrie Ten Boom lived in Holland during World War II, and her sister was arrested by the Nazis, and she was too, and incarcerated in a camp. And she saw this one Nazi German soldier kill her sister. And she said, after the war, if her one big goal in ministry was going to be to meet that soldier and forgive him for what he did. Now, Renee has a wonderful script. I've read it. And it's taken from a lot of books and resources that portray Corrie Ten Boom. And it's going to be absolutely spectacular. But I thought of that story, being prepared. She was prepared in her heart to give forgiveness to this man who killed her sister. And she did. And then I thought of that in another story. It was about a village priest in France, in the mountains of all places, okay? And he preached on this on a Sunday during World War II. He preached to his flock in this little village. He told them, one day, Jesus is going to come. He's going to come unknown and in a different form than we can imagine. And he's going to come into your life. And you're going to be prepared to do something, to give him the glory and to give him the honor out of love. Well, it wasn't long after this priest offered that sermon to his congregation when Nazis came looking for Jews in all of the villages of France. They were prepared because every single one in that church took in a Jewish family and hid them so that the Nazis couldn't find any Jews in that village at all. And they managed to survive World War II, which wasn't the case if you look at other villages and cities that were hounded by the Nazis. And the people in that little village were waiting because of that sermon and waiting to respond with their lamps, with their souls, with their very lives, to help their neighbors. Waiting for the Lord may not always be like that wedding story that we read here in Scripture. We're not just waiting, but we're waiting to respond in a positive way. Waiting for the Lord may not always be like this. There are rough times, and there are moments when you don't feel like doing a thing. I was reminded of that this morning in the adult Sunday school class. And Ken mentioned something in his life too. It's a different scripture, but it fits the same mold. Being prepared to wait, and then when the unexpected does happen, and the blessings that come from the unexpected to you, to your life. That's what Christianity really is all about. As a Christian community, we're never left going it alone. We're never alone. We've got support and we have encouragement from one another in probably some miraculous ways. And you could count them right now in your own life, can't you? I can. We weep with those who mourn. We rejoice with those who celebrate, who are happy. We are encouraged by people who want to do good. We offer our prayers, our needs, our concerns, not only personally, but we offer it for others. And we remember that with our list that's there in the hall, a prayer list of people in need. And we say, thank you, God, remember, please be with. And we name, don't we? We don't just say, what's her name? We give thanks for all that is good. You see, in life or in death, we are all God's children. All. Sometimes it takes tears to restore our vision, doesn't it? Sometimes it takes a pinch to realize that the Lord's waiting there for us even as we wait for Him. As with the wise virgins in this story, we are prepared to wait in hope or service. Because Jesus does come to us always as we reluctantly go to Him. Notice I said reluctantly. It's never an easy task to fall on your knees and ask God for help. It's never easy to fall on your knees and cry because life is such a stinker. It's never easy to look to God and say, give me strength, give me patience, even give me a smile, when it's so hard to smile. Going to Christ, being ready for Him, is a hope that will never disappoint us if we hold true to the faith, wisdom, afforded us in the example of these wise virgins and foolish. Because the example given to them and the example given to us is one that we have every day. Are you in tune with and ready for Jesus Christ? Are you? Am I? God, grant us wisdom and grant us strength for each new day that comes, for each new challenge a day may bring, for wisdom and courage, for hope, for love. For direction, guide us. Amen.